The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Are you looking for some good, clean positivity? Good, me neither. I'm Maddie Murphy, and I host The Bad Broadcast, a weekly comedy podcast dedicated to talking about everything we love to hate. I searched my whole life to find my passion. Little did I know, I had been practicing my true talent every single day. Complaining. Join me every Monday wherever you listen to podcasts, and be sure to follow me on Instagram at The Bad Broadcast to answer our weekly questions and for a chance to be featured on the show. See you there.
Hey guys, this is Note to Self, and I'm your host, Peyton Sarton. From Q&As and breakup tips to simply navigating every stage of life, Note to Self is a space to get messy, explore new perspectives, and ultimately empower yourself and others. Grab some wine or a mocktail, and I hope you enjoy today's episode. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Note to Self. I'm sitting in Los Angeles right now in studio. I'm here this week for Stagecoach, so by the time you'll hear this, I'll be back. But actually, I'm probably going to Chicago, I think, doing a little Chicago excursion. Joe's team plays the Cubs, so when you're listening to this, I'll be embarking on my Chicago journey. I freaking love Chicago. Like, I love it. And in the summertime, it's the absolute best. I think Joe, obviously this is like a week before, so I don't know, but I think he might be pitching the first game. So if y'all want to go to the Chicago games, if you're a Chicago girly, Joe might be pitching. We'll see. What do I have to tell you guys? What new information do I have for you? Oh, well, I was saying, I kind of want to come back and make it a point to come back to LA to record stuff and just kind of like stockpile. I'm having a couple guests on for the next few episodes, the next couple episodes, that are so good. I'm so excited to record with them. I think y'all are going to really, really like specifically the sex expert, the sexologist. What is she? I think she's called like a sexpert. I'm really excited to have her on. I had everyone submit questions and y'all did not hold back. I was like, don't be shy, ask questions. Y'all really went in for the freaking questions. So I'm really excited for that. I love coming back to LA to record. Like I said, I'm kind of trying to do this thing where I'm compartmentalizing my work. So like, I would like LA to be a place I come and I just like do the most. Like I've shot, so far I've been here for a little over 24 hours and I have shot 3 partnerships. And then I'm recording today, I'm recording 2 episodes tonight, and I'm recording 2 episodes tomorrow. So we're really just banging it out, getting it all done. And it feels good to like leave LA at that point and go back to Milwaukee, where I'm currently living, and just like hang out with Winnie and do like the day-to-day admin stuff. There's something about it. I'm just like, I'm really liking it. Also, when I landed in Los Angeles less than 24 hours ago now, I almost started crying happy tears. The sun was out. The weather is beautiful. I have been just doing all my normal stuff. I've seen my friends. We had a little girls' night last night, which was so fun. I'm working with Waymo right now here in LA. And I've been testing out their like fully autonomous vehicles. Oh my God. It's the coolest thing ever. Like I had the Waymo One drop off Iman and Kristen like separately last night. And we were just like, hey, bye girls. See you later. And then it just like drove me home. That's crazy. So I think that's really all my updates for you guys. I was kind of trying to figure out how to celebrate Note to Self's 3rd birthday. That's what we're doing today with this episode. Note to Self actually turns 3 on May 4th, but this is like the closest episode to that 3rd birthday. So I asked you, what do you guys want to see for the 3rd episode? Something special? Like, what are we feeling? I got so many good responses. The ones that I'm not going to be using, the ideas that I'm not using today, I will just plan that out for other episodes because it's good to know what you want or what you want to hear from me specifically. But for today's episode, I just figured I would do kind of an extended Ask P. And I asked you guys to submit just shorter questions that I can get through. And I'm going to try to get through as many as possible. I'm going to try to do that. I had everyone submit on Instagram and I'm just going to go through kind of at random and choose. And like I said, try to get through as many as humanly possible. Thank you guys so much, by the way, for being here and being part of just Note to Self's journey. It's been such an unbelievable experience for me. The podcast has absolutely changed my life. And I love meeting you guys in the wild. And I love getting DMs and how I like talking to you about how much you guys like it too. It means something to me to create something that I love, that I'm proud of, but also it means a lot to me as well that people are liking it and that you're resonating or that it's resonating with you. So with that said, let's just hop into the questions because I want to get as many of these done. And I also just like love to hear what you guys want to know, you know? All right. We might be just bouncing all over topics wise, by the way, just because I did not plan or anything. I'm literally reading it off of Instagram right now. Start near the top. Okay, we'll start with a really kind of a life update one. You'll see what I mean in a second. This one says, how is depression? I started Prozac last week. Okay, I feel like I just will have depression with me at all times. I'm just a depressed girly. And living without the sun has not necessarily helped that very much. And I'm trying to kind of find a balance between like rotting and depression and then also my like hyper productivity. But there's like a level of depression there as well. Like I'm kind of like trying to distract myself or I'm rotting. Like there's no middle ground. So for me, I'm trying to find that middle ground so I can just be normal. Because I can't just be like avoiding everything I'm doing in my life. I avoid a lot. I guess I just put things off. I am not typically, unless I'm in major productive, like manic mode, I'm like the opposite of productive. And I will do nothing all day besides lay because I just feel so exhausted. So the depression, to answer your question, not going well, but I'm not going to be getting back on medications at this point. Am I ruling it out forever? Absolutely not. I talked about this in the Hot Girls Take Their Meds episode. I will take them when I feel like I need them, right? So I got off my meds, I mean, almost a full year ago now, I got off the meds. And they were super helpful for the time being. And they really helped me with my intrusive thoughts. That was really like a big one for me. But I still was a little bit depressed during that time. I don't think I was taking a high enough dose to see like crazy results for the depression part of it all. So the depression is alive and well. She's thriving. I think it makes things in my life a little like, there's always just like a little ironic rain cloud over things. And that's okay with me. I guess it's just part of my personality now. But we'll see how I choose to deal with it in the future. I'm glad you got on some meds. I really hope you like them because meds at certain points in my life have been really, really helpful for me. So I'm always a proponent of you got to do what you got to do for your own mental health so you guys can like be out there living as well. Because depression for me, just it makes me not want to get up, not want to do anything. I put things off forever. I'm always doing things last minute and then I'm stressed about them because I didn't get them done, whatever. You know the whole thing. So I'm trying to manage that right now and manage my productivity and then also trying to avoid the whole like bed rotting situation that I've been doing a lot in Milwaukee because I don't have that much to do there. And when I don't have something pressing that I have to do right now, I just like want to lay down. So the depression is depressioning, all right? Okay, this one says, how do you keep things spicy in the bedroom when you're an SSRI / depressed girly? These were right under each other. I had to make sure it wasn't the same person. Okay, so for me, I feel like keeping things spicy, I really noticed that, I think I speak for a lot of women, when I have to be turned on like by myself in order to be turned on like at all. I think you know, my friends and I talked about this in a recent episode. Women just like, we turn ourselves on, right? So I need to take a lot of time to like relax and then do things to make myself feel sexy outside of the bedroom. Because I think also for women, speaking specifically for myself, but I know for a lot of other women as well, the foreplay of it all starts with myself and it's like all day. You know what I mean? So I want to feel sexy and I do things that make me feel sexy and I spend a lot of extra time doing those things so that I can perform in the moment, so to speak. You know what I mean? So I think that's really important to just like make your life kind of sexy if you're feeling, especially like if you feel like depression or your meds are really getting in the way of your sex life. Okay. This one says, did you make Joe, quote, wait before getting physical again? Currently considering an ex, LOL. No, I didn't. Because I listened to my own self. Like I knew, maybe I'm weird, but sometimes in my life, I've been able to have sex with someone with like, I have no connection to them. Like I don't feel like I need to speak to them ever again. I don't know if that's horrible, but I feel like I can separate sometimes sex from the person. And that being said, the first time I hooked up with Joe after we were like talking about getting back together, I wasn't like back in love with him. You know what I mean? Like I wasn't in this blissful state. So when we did hook up, like it's always good, you know, but it wasn't like, oh, okay, we had sex. Like now I really want him back or anything like that. Like I just have like a weird brain when it comes to that, but I never needed or felt like I needed to make him wait because I wanted to have sex. And I just usually do what I want to do. I don't like try to play a game of waiting or giving it up too early or too late or whatever it is, like that has no bearing on how I like play my dating game, so to speak. I'll just do it if I want to do it, and the end. It's time to take a quick break, sponsored by the Nike Indie Bra and Universa Legging. This is your sign to take a deep breath, refill your water bottle, and grab a healthy snack. I realize that this is a reminder that I need daily, so I figured y'all might need it too. Another thing you'll need to know, Nike's Indie Bra is back and now comes in three support levels, low, medium, and high, for however you choose to move. All three levels are designed to fit and flatter your body. Indie is made from soft material and thin, smooth elastic that will keep you comfy all day. The thin adjustable straps provide extra comfort and a customizable touch. I love that you can really choose your settings on this one. Now, let's talk about my absolute favorite legging of all time, and I do not say that lightly. Nike Universa leggings help smooth and lift, and they stretch with your every move. They're squat-proof, which is extremely important to me, and the mid-weight and Infinismooth fabric is extra comfortable. These are the leggings I reach for when I'm headed to the gym, running errands, or just need a cute athletic forward look for every day. I'm not exaggerating when I say these are my favorite leggings ever. Luckily for me, they're extra durable and will last me forever. The Indie Bra and Universa legging as a set are truly unmatched. This set is something I'm constantly reaching for because it never fails me. Find your feel with Nike bras and leggings that deliver supportive flexibility and comfort for whatever your day brings. Shop now at Nike.com. Today's episode is sponsored by Revolve. Revolve might be, top level, one of my favorite sponsors of all time. And that's because I have shopped in Revolve for the entirety of my adult life at this point. I am such a huge fan first, and then I've had the ability to work with Revolve for quite a while now. I have done a number of trips with Revolve in the past. I am just obsessed. I'm actually going to a little festival this weekend, and I am doing so with the help of Revolve. So I am such a huge fan. I'm so glad that they're a sponsor because there's so many things I love about Revolve. If I need an outfit for literally anything, you can find me on Revolve, taking advantage of that fast shipping and free and easy returns. They have so many options, and it's just my tried and true. And I know my clothes are going to get there in the time that I need them. I'm always last minute, so the shipping is key for me. So whether I'm doing, going to be a guest at a wedding, or I'm going to some kind of big event, or I'm going on a trip, or I'm going to Vegas with my friends, or Miami with my friends, or I'm going baseball season outfits, whatever it is, I just go to Revolve because I'm always going to find something. They have amazing brands. I'm always finding new brands that I love. And then some of the in-house brands I've just always been a huge fan of, specifically Lovers and Friends, Major L. Huge, huge fan. For festival, I have stocked up on some really amazing, amazing options that I think you guys are going to love. For this festival season, I kind of wanted to be a little more comfort forward. So two of my three outfits are all from Revolve. And I over-ordered, honestly, because I feel like I'm going to wear everything. I can't get enough. I check the website once a day. Also, if you're someone who needs more recommendations or curated edits, Revolve has the best in the game, okay? You can go to Revolve and look at some of their curated edits for cool girl styles or vacation outfits or wedding guest stuff. They just have so many curated lists and things that it makes it so easy to shop. From last-minute trips to event dressing and seasonal refreshes, Revolve has you covered with fast two-day shipping and hassle-free returns, all on them. So go to revolve.com/note-to-self today to shop my picks for the season. And don't forget to check out the spring shop while you're there. They have curated the best selection of spring styles into this edit, and I'm obsessed with all of them. That's revolve.com/note-to-self. Okay, this one says, how do you not contract the ick from dating apps? Okay, I think we have to go into the dating app scenario just knowing that everyone here thinks it's awkward, right? There's something weird about it. We're all acknowledging that. You know what I mean? So I think it's been acknowledged. It's always going to be a little bit weird. Joe's first messages to me on the app that we met on were just so cringy. But what do you say to a random person that you're texting that you've never met in person, that you've never seen in person? And how do you start a conversation? I feel like those first messages especially are always just a little awkward. And you just have to be prepared for that when you're on a dating app. I think a good thing to do when you're talking to a guy is get off of the app relatively quickly, whether it's DMs on Instagram or texting or something. Getting off the app makes it feel more real to me, at least. Because also, when Joe and I were broken up, I got on Hinge like a few months after we broke up. And I would like get on Hinge and like have like a Hinge spurt where we go through like guys and stuff or like Raya or something. And then I like would forget about it and then not get on the app forever. And then it's like 2 weeks later and I'm like, oh, hey, like didn't see your message. And then they're off the app. Like it's just like a whole thing, right? And it never gets off the app. So take it off the app as fast as possible because I feel like people loosen up a little bit more. And then typically when it comes to dating apps, if I'm using them to like actually find dates and stuff, I'm pretty quick to like schedule a date. So when Joe and I were, our timeline was like we met on Raya and then our conversation fizzled out because it was just like a stupid conversation. Like it's one of those things that he could have, like, there's so many conversations on dating apps that I've let fizzle out and just like kind of moved on. And like, I was just planning on doing that with Joe. And then he ended up DMing me or answering one of my stories on Instagram, which made it just like more fun and real, I feel like. And then we shortly after started texting and then we like made a plan. I came to Scottsdale relatively shortly after that. He was staying there at the time and we saw each other in person. So like quickly moving off the app is great, but I think the initial getting on, starting the conversation, making your profile, looking at a guy's profile, it's all a little bit like weird and ick-like, you know what I mean? But I think if you just acknowledge that and maybe make a joke of it or something, then it's easier to get past. Okay, this one says, I'm 22 and I've never had a real relationship. I feel like I'm too independent to settle for anything less. Any tips? Okay, I think not settling is great. I think it's important to have in your mind what type of relationship you want and how you want to feel. And you need to lead with that. One thing that held me back though, being the firstborn Capricorn daughter of it all, especially from a military family where my dad was gone a lot, there's a lot of independence there. And some of it is kind of, you know, what they call like a trauma response. A lot of independence can be a sign of a trauma response. Healthy independence is wonderful. But when you're in a relationship and you're in a partnership, you do have to rely on someone else for some things. And you do have to trust someone else with your heart, you know? And there's day to day, obviously, like, especially like when you're in a committed like partnership or a marriage, you day to day do rely on someone else. But getting to that point for me was hard because I didn't want to have to rely on someone else. And I didn't want for Joe specifically to see me as needy or not independent enough. And I remember we had a conversation where I basically was trying to prove that I could do everything myself. And he was like, okay, I get that you can do it yourself. Like, I know that. I know you're independent. You don't need to prove it to anyone, yourself or me. But he was basically like, but it means something for me to do it for you. Like, I want to take care of you in this way. And that changed the way that I look at it. So I try to be careful about who I'm trusting to, quote, take care of me in certain ways. But it's my hyper independence is something I had to let go of in my relationship. And I actually have a full episode on hyper independence and dating and relationships. I think that's literally the title verbatim. You guys can search for that on Spotify. I know you can scroll all the way up to the top and then search in the search bar, just like hyper independence or something. So independence, to recap, wonderful, but and not settling, wonderful. But there is such thing as hyper independence and too much independence that could be making it difficult for you to find a relationship. Someone says, how do you work around splitting money and costs in your relationship when he makes more? Joe pays for mostly everything that we do, especially now that I live in Milwaukee, he's paying. There are sometimes that I'll pay for things, like obviously like we'll go get groceries and like buy stuff on Amazon for the house. And like, I'm not like completely freeloading. I also like pay for some of the rent portion of like my office space because I felt like bad, like just making him saying he has to pay for absolutely everything we do. But even then, sometimes I forget a Venmo or two now and then. He doesn't mind doing it. He likes it. He's never looked at me or asked me to pay for things before. I also do buy him like gifts and stuff like that. So I pay for what I feel is right to pay for, especially in the moment. Sometimes I'll grab us a lunch or dinner or something. Obviously for like birthdays, Christmas, all that stuff, I buy stuff for him. But overall, he does make pretty substantially, in most years, he's made substantially more money than me. So, and hopefully in the coming years, much more than that. So I don't feel bad asking or allowing him to pay for things. But that's part of that hyper independence thing. Cause I feel like I was always the person at the bar being like, I don't need you to buy me a drink. I'll actually buy your drink. And then I'm like, what the fuck am I doing? Stop. You don't need to prove it to anyone again. So that's part of the hyper independence that I really leaned into is I save my money. I save a lot of money now. I don't really save it. I just spend it on other things. Like, instead of paying freaking $3,500 in rent, I pay much, much less than that because that's what I paid living in LA. that was a lovely sum to not have to pay every month again. But I'm sending Winnie now to like a 2-week board and train program that costs so much freaking money. Or I bought a new computer as well. And I also got 3 rounds of microneedling. So am I saving money, I guess? No, I'm just spending on other things that I don't have, you know, because I don't have to do as much in rent and like groceries and stuff anymore as I normally do. Okay, this one says, how do you stop caring what others think about you and like influencing your decisions? So I do still, I think, in my life, care and consider what other people think about me, but I get like a little bit of a high from understanding and having that fear and then doing whatever I want anyways. You know what I mean? The whole feel the fear and do it anyway kind of thing. It feels like, for example, when I first started posting on social media and it was like cringe and weird and everyone made fun of me for it to my face and behind my back a lot. It was really bad. It was 2016 or maybe 2015. So I had to decide. I remember there was a moment where I just felt so down on myself because I'm like, oh my God, am I a loser? Like they're treating me like I'm a loser. But then I realized no one really actually cares. Maybe they'll say things in passing or talk about it with their friends for 5 seconds, but like who actually cares? And if someone actually cares, like that's weird for them, you know, like go live your own life, dude. But I had to decide, am I just going to like have to face this and just like kind of be afraid of it, but also not let it control me? And that was the point that I got. I don't like to be controlled. So it was a resounding, you know, yes, I'm just going to let it happen and not control me kind of situation. So I think that when you are aware of how you're coming off to others, and if you're aware that others think, you know, something bad about you, something negative, and you continue to act as if you don't care, you start kind of learning and kind of building that muscle to not actually care as much anymore. But again, it's still always there. Like I think people want to be accepted. We don't want to be made fun of. We don't want to be seen as weird or other or like out there. I also like deeply do not want that feeling and that fear to control how I live my life. So I try to intentionally override that with my own, you know, now what I would call confidence. But in the beginning, it was a little bit more of a feeling of delusion. But I love that feeling now of overriding that. This one says, how are you and your boyfriend rebuilding trust by being together again? So when Joe and I first got back together, I did a full episode on this, by the way. The big part for me and the big question for me was, am I going to be able to trust him again? And I told him after we first reconnected, we basically spoke like every single night on the phone, and I asked him a million questions and we had some very serious conversations for about 2 months before I agreed to get back together in a relationship with him. So we were working on the trust then by being very open and honest with each other about literally everything from, you know, people we talked to or relationships or like hookups while we were broken up, for example, which is obviously not a fun conversation for anyone on either side to have. We talked about the breakup and how we felt at the time and maybe things that we felt in our relationship that we hadn't shared with each other, and, you know, very clear, direct, and honest conversations about each of our futures, what we each see for ourselves and if they mesh with each other. So I think that communication and that kind of openness really helped lay a foundation to build trust again. I told him though that there's some part of like trusting someone that just, it's just like an intuitive thing. And even when we got back together, I was like, hey, we can work on our relationship within the bounds of a relationship. Like, I'm not a big, like, let's just like talk it over for, you know, and be in the talking stage or like the what are we stage for too long. I feel like I just need to like kind of shit or get out the pot. Like, I need to make a decision, right? So I decided, okay, my intuition tells me like we should be back together. And it was looking pretty iffy there for a little while because by the time we had started talking again, it was like probably 9 months after we broke up. And I was obviously still sad and everything about the breakup, but I could have made a different life for myself. You know what I mean? Like I had worked really hard to get back to a place of just like inner peace with it all. And at that point I could have really taken it or left it. And I wanted to be in that position before I made the decision to get back together with him as well, or to really just start talking to him again at all. And when we first started talking, I was very much removed. And I really wanted to like observe him and see if he could show me those things that I was looking for, and if see, to just kind of see what he would naturally bring up and how he behaves over the course of a couple months. So we had that foundation of the clear and open communication. And then I told him, like, listen, we can work on this relationship within the relationship while we're in a relationship. We can work on it. But I can't promise that I'm fully going to trust you. I don't know. You know what I mean? Now I do trust him. I think that there's a certain point that I just don't trust anyone, to be honest. But you do have to have like some level of trust to be in a relationship. But people do crazy shit all the time. You know what I mean? Like, I'm looking at, there's been a lot of stuff in the news lately about just like, you know, a man murder-suiciding his entire family, for example, and he seemed pretty normal. So like, you can't trust everyone out here, all right? It's just not, it wouldn't be smart to be quite honest. But I trust him enough, for sure. And other things that we like to do are that we do when it comes to trust on both ends. We have each other's locations. We're open to, you know, not that we necessarily go through each other's phones, but like I have his passwords to things and his phone unlock or whatever. He has mine. What else? When it comes to also like after we got back together and me telling him like I need to work on the trust thing, because that's obviously like a massive part of a relationship, I was like, there's going to be some times where I'm working on the trust and I maybe don't trust you. I have some kind of relapse or I get a little stressed, or, you know, the way we ended up breaking up was so abrupt to me. So it made me be like, okay, well, can I ever trust if I'm having a happy moment again that you're like, you're feeling like you're in the starting or beginning phases of wanting to break up with me again? Because I didn't fucking know that was happening when it did happen. So that was a hard thing for me. And communication really helps with that. And then also, I told him a number of times, like, if I kind of like relapse on the trust thing, or if I need more information from you, or if I'm feeling a little bit insecure about something, I need you to be patient with me and I need you to be willing to engage with me in those conversations and to do so happily, okay? Because you're the reason this trust is broken in the first place. So you're going to need to like do this and answer my question with fucking bells on, all right? Because I'm not dealing with any kind of sassiness from you when I doubt you, because you deserve to be doubted for a hot second, okay? So I was very clear about that. And he's always helped me through any moments where I'm like, sorry, I just like, you know, when you just get like mad after the fact, like I've been in a relationship, we're happy, we're everything. And then like some days I'll just like look at him and be like, I'm just mad at you for what you did to me a year and a month ago, you know, or a year and how long was it? A year and a half ago. And I still have those feelings sometimes where I'm like, I don't really like, I think about it too much and then I'm mad again. You know what I mean? So it's a job for both parties really with the building of the trust, but it really has been that truthful, honest communication, and then his being patient with me while I'm trying to get back into the groove of trusting him again. And it just comes with time, honestly. Like when I told him I don't know if it's going to happen or if it doesn't, in terms of building up the trust again, I didn't know. And I also was like, but there's no way to find out. There's no other way to find out than just like living and see if it does, you know? I hope that was a helpful response. Like I kind of went all over the place with that one. Okay, this is going a different route. Best snacks to pack for a plane. I hate paying $7 for almonds. Same here. I hate airport food so much. So I really like Chomps. It's like chicken jerky and like turkey jerky, I think. I think they do have beef jerky as well. I like really any kind of chip, like a healthy chip. They have a lot on like Thrive Market, obviously so many at Whole Foods. What else? I was just thinking of something else. Oh, just like a protein bar. I always have a protein bar with me no matter what anyways, because sometimes I like, especially if I'm really busy and I just like forget what time it is. And like, I'm a person that I'll be sitting in the Uber because I get like a second to just sit and relax in an Uber. And I immediately am hit with like the most world shattering hunger pangs. So I always have a protein bar with me anyways. And especially when I'm traveling, I like to eat something high protein. So for me right now, it's been my Chomps and my protein bars. And I get my protein bars from Costco. I'm a big Costco girly nowadays. Today's episode is sponsored by R.W. Knudsen. So I know if you've been on social media at all, you have seen the Sleepy Girl Mocktail. I am a huge, huge stan of the Sleepy Girl Mocktail. Not only does it feel like it's like kind of replacing like a wine beverage for me at night sometimes, but the benefits are amazing. If you don't know how to make it, just go on social media somewhere and search it, okay? Because you need to try it. So R.W. Knudsen is an essential part of this Sleepy Girl Mocktail process. So the organic Just Tart Cherry Juice is having a moment. Thanks to tart cherries, potential sleep-related benefits and potential to aid in muscle recovery. Like I said, it's absolutely all over the internet. But that's not the only juice they have, okay? They also have organic just pineapple juice, and pineapples may help with inflammation, immunity, digestion, and heart health. They also have just cranberry juice. Cranberries may help with digestion and hydration and to help prevent UTIs. So I always have cranberry juice in my fridge because I don't want to label myself a UTI girly, but I kind of am sometimes. So big fan of the just cranberry juice. And they also have organic beet juice. So beets may help fight grumpy guts, aka beets aid in digestion. They might improve workout stamina and heart health as well. So many options when it comes to the juices that R.W. Knudsen makes. They're always 100% juice made with only high quality ingredients. They're crafted for life's little wins. It doesn't have to be a big win to celebrate your healthy decisions. And R.W. Knudsen knows that when the glass is half full, you keep pouring. R.W. Knudsen crushes only 100% real ingredients, so you can crush everything you do. Pick up a bottle at your local grocery store today. Someone says, have you ever dated a mama's boy? How did it go? Absolutely not. And I wouldn't do that. I think in my head, I have the quintessential mama's boy, not my thing. It feels kind of childlike in a way that I don't like. Like, for example, Joe is childlike in a certain way. He's very playful. He's goofy. He's funny. He's very lighthearted. And he brings out that side of me that I just don't really have unless I'm 2 tequilas deep, at least. Then I'm just giggling the whole time. But I'm typically I think it's that depression rain cloud that we spoke about earlier. I'm typically a pretty heavy, always thinking about darkness kind of person. And I can be very sarcastic. I can be, I don't want to say mean because I'm not doing it to be mean on purpose. I can be honest and blunt. And Joe is just a sweet baby angel. You know what I mean? That he's funny because he's 6'5" and huge. And when you watch him pitch or something, if you watch Joe on TV pitching, he looks so angry and he looks so serious. And he is just the opposite of that in real life. It's actually very weird. I was just talking about this with one of his family members. She was like, why does his face look like that? Why do they always do that face? It was for one of his photos or something that he had to take for the team. God, it doesn't even look like him. His face looks different. But when it comes to childlike in a mama's boy way, that's just not for me. So there's a certain kind of childlike that I do like, but that one is just not, it's not it. Someone says, what do you recommend for dating a guy who does TikTok influencing? I'm going to be real honest. I don't think I could date a TikTok influencer. I don't think I could date an influencer, a male influencer. There's something about it that I just fucking hate. I feel like influencing and influencer stuff is for the girls and for the girls only. Everyone else, it's just not allowed. I'm sorry. And by everyone, I mean men. What do you consider red flags in the talking stage? Love you. Hi, love you too. Okay, so in the talking stage, I feel like that's when someone's putting their best foot forward, ideally, right? A lot of the time. Obviously, there's some caveats to that. But I think that any red flag, I guess, I have to assume that if I'm noticing red flags in the talking stage when they're putting their best foot forward, I have to assume it's much worse in the regular stages of a relationship. So I'm pretty intense about the red flags for talking stages. I will say one thing that I consider, I don't know how to even say this, but one thing I consider a green flag that some people would consider red flags, I consider it a red flag if this does not exist in the talking stages of a relationship, is awkwardness. It should be a little bit awkward. People are trying to find their footing within a new kind of possible budding relationship. And there needs to be those kind of awkward off moments that are super raw. And if those aren't there for me and it's too smooth, I'm not talking about you like them or whatever. If someone is too much of a player, playing a certain game, or they're just too smooth, it gives me fuckboy immediately. I hate it. Also, a very, very, very serious red flag to me is anything that possibly looks like love bombing. I am terrified of love bombing. People who love bomb really scare me, really bad. There's something serial killer-esque about it to me. I just hate it. This happened one time when Joe and I were broken up. After a few months, I kind of started forcing myself to get back out there again. When I say a few months, I mean 5 or 6 months. But I hooked up with a guy who was a major love bomber, and I was so terrified of him. Like, I couldn't get further away from him faster, honestly. He just is, it was so weird. So love bombing and then like things being like too smooth and like, I guess, thought through. I feel like there needs to be those moments where like you have an awkward conversation or something like embarrassing happens or something like that. I feel like that's a natural start to a relationship. So when those aren't there, I'm just like, what kind of game are you playing here, guy? Like, I don't like it. It feels fake, you know? Okay, this one says engagement anytime soon. So I'm pretty open about this stuff. Obviously, when Joe and I were getting back together in that process, we had spoken about engagement before we broke up. And then when we were getting back together, I was like, listen, I'm turning 30. This is pre-me turning 30 at the time. And I was like, I'm so fucking serious. And if you come around here knowing that I want to have a couple children and you waste my fucking time for the next few years and then you decide that we're not going to be together, I am going to freak the fuck out. Okay. You will have ruined something that I want. You know what I mean? And for me, I have PCOS. So I'm just like hyper aware of the having kids thing right now. And it's something that I would like in the very much near future. So I was really trying to make sure that we aligned. And I was like, we obviously like, we discussed timeline for engagement and stuff like that. I mean, I'm kind of getting off on a tangent here, but I also saw some questions about kids. So I'll just answer this all at one time. I am not a big wedding person. I do have a wedding Pinterest board, okay, that I have somewhat recently gotten into, but I noticed in college that I just wasn't a person who had my wedding planned out. Like, it literally just never occurred to me. And so many of my friends like knew what they wanted at the time, at least for their wedding, and they were already excited about it. I just noticed it wasn't really something I thought about because I just felt like it wasn't really happening in the near future. So like, why do I need to think about that? I also don't like weddings in general. I like attending some. And I think for some people, like, I'll go to a wedding and I'll cry my eyes out at someone else's love for sure. And I'm sure at my own, I'll be teary-eyed in my own way. But when it comes to the performance of a wedding, I just don't want to do any of the things that you typically do at a wedding. Like, all I want to do is party with my friends and my family. And it'd be nice to have Joe and I's friends and family all together, because I don't think we're really going to get that opportunity because his family lives up in Northern California and my family and friends like rarely leave Texas unless it's like my LA friends or something. So for me, like, the only reason we will have a wedding, I probably have a wedding, is because of that. I'm kind of leading in with that one, because when we're discussing timeline to like get engaged, to get married, and to have kids, I don't really care to do things by the book. Like, I would like to be legally married by the time we have children, maybe like elope or something. Or maybe if I get pregnant before we're married, we'll like elope and then have like a party later or something. So TBD on the timeline of everything. I do think engagement should come first. We also need to get a house here pretty soon for the end of season and everything. So I think our goal would be to be engaged before the end of the season, unless things just get like really crazy. We're kind of stopped right now. The timeline's a little bit stopped because I need to figure out a ring that I like. And I'm having a hard time with that one. I took a screenshot of something today that I like, and I actually need to send it to Joe. I keep forgetting. But I need to decide the ring, and then we'll do the engagement. I have a lot of rules for engagement. I don't want, and all the way, by the way, when I say rules for myself, I don't like look at other people who don't do these things, who like do a normal engagement or do like a full huge wedding. There's nothing about that that makes me like judge anyone. Like, everyone needs to do what they want to do. I just, like, for me, it doesn't make me comfortable. Like, I'm not comfortable in that position. You know what I mean? So when it comes to engagement, I want it to be very private, literally just us. I don't want a photographer or anything like that there. I just want it to be us. And I don't want to make a big deal of it to like the public, I guess. And the public meaning like everyone, like my friends and family even. I would like to like make it a little more for us. Of course, I think they're going to be involved, because I think that they're going to like have the sign off on the ring, I think, and just like make sure everything's in order. But I don't really want to share it with a ton of people for a little bit. And I want it to be a very private moment. So y'all might not know when it happens. It hasn't yet happened. Don't worry, because I still got to get the ring. But you'll know, probably like a week or two after it happens. I feel like I'm going to get that ring though, because the ring I want is nice. Okay. I know for it. possibly when I get that ring on my finger, I'll change my tune and be like, everyone, look at the fucking ring. But my goal is to just kind of have it be for us for like a week or so. I feel like that would be so nice to just like bask in engagement glory. Another thing I was talking about the other day to follow up with the wedding situation, I almost throw up in my own mouth when I consider myself labeled a wife. Like, I don't like that. I do not like it. I can be a fiance. There's something about Joe being like, this is my wife, that makes me like genuinely like so nervous, and it makes me want to throw up. Like, I want to be married because I think it's a smart legal decision for two people who are entering a partnership that they choose to have, hopefully for life. It's smart money-wise. I think it's smart when you want to have kids specifically. So even though I think it's kind of chic to not be married and have kids, like I do think that's a little bit like in right now. But anyway, for my life to be easier, I think in terms of the partnership to be easier legally, I feel like marriage, I'm okay with it. All right. That's a long-winded way to say I do want to be married because I think it's smart. But being a wife, again, like every time I say the word, I literally want to throw up, guys. I don't know what's wrong with me. I just can't. And it's not Joe specifically. Like, if there's anyone on this earth I want to be married to, it's him, right? But like this, it's just the wife part. Maybe I just like won't let him refer to me as wife. He'll just be like, this is Peyton. That's how he introduces me. I don't know. Do any of y'all have that same feeling? Like, it's just like, ugh, I don't like it. I don't like it. I don't like the word wife. And then with kids, I'm going to be quite honest. We're not necessarily being careful, but I also, and I wouldn't hate having a child literally right now. I'm 30. I have too much time on my hands. I mean, it would be fine. But, and we could also hire, like, we just have all the resources that we need, besides obviously us being married right now. But I say that we're not being careful because I do, like I said, again, I have PCOS and I've gotten my hormones checked and I have like no progesterone, which means I don't think I'm like ovulating at all. So if I did get pregnant right now, I think it'd be kind of a miracle. I think I'm going to have to like take something for me to be able to ovulate. So my doctor said it should be pretty easy when the time comes because everything else is like totally fine in terms of, you know, testing for fertility and all of that stuff right now. But we're not necessarily trying at all by any means, but we're not trying. It would just be like kind of rare and somewhat of a miracle because that would mean I would have to start like spontaneously ovulating, which just hasn't happened in a while. This one says, tips for the first month after a breakup. I'm struggling out here. The first few months are obviously the worst. I feel like the first month is really bad. And then you start kind of like being like, okay, there's a light at the end of the tunnel. And then you like relapse and it's horrible again. I would bask in it. Let yourself bask. Complain. Listen to the podcast episode with my friend Kimberly about how to get over a breakup. And she calls it mashed potato phase. And this is an essential phase. You need to be sad. And then you might have a little comeback for a second and you'll be sad again. And it's just not linear. So you just need to give yourself grace to feel all the things you're feeling. It's totally normal. And you're in the thick of it right now. And it will end. It will be over. I promise. It doesn't seem like it right now, I'm sure. But just like keep on keeping on. Bask if you need to, be emotional if you need to, and let yourself. This is your you moment. This is your beginning of the rom-com, we just broke up moment, because something better is coming for sure. All right, let's do a couple more. Someone says mountains or beach. Beach, 1,000,000,000,000,000,000 fucking percent. Maybe like some mountainous beach action. But no, beach for sure. Joe and I are trying to figure out where we want to live in the off season. And we are looking at both Scottsdale, Arizona and Florida. I'm honestly voting more on the Florida side of things. I feel at home in Florida. I lived there for the first 8 years of my life. We lived up in the Panhandle though, and they're like Panama City, Destin, but we'd be like in South Florida. I need the humidity. I should really be living on like an island or something. I love tropical weather. I want to be on a beach. I don't want to brush my hair. I want to wear no shoes. In my heart, am like a tropical beach girl. And I need to be as close to the Bahamas as possible. So without actually living in the Bahamas. So I think Florida is going to be my goal because of this love for the beach. Okay. All right. We'll do two more. Who's a celebrity you would be BFFs with? I think Dakota Johnson, I think is her name. After watching, I think it was her Architectural Digest video or whatever of her house, I was like, yeah, we could be friends. She seems like she's not with all the fanfare. I kind of love that she like did that whole movie and then was like, yeah, like you don't need to watch it if you don't want to. Like, I'm like, I love you. I love that so much. I would totally be her friend. And then let's see one more. What's your serial killer trait? Mine is drinking warm water from the tap. What is my serial killer trait? Oh, when I go to bed at night, I have to have the sheets on either side of the bed and the comforter on either side of the bed be like hanging down equally. Like there needs to be an equal amount on both sides, or else I feel like I can feel it and one side's heavier than the other one. And I hate the way it, like I definitely have some level of obsessive compulsive disorder. I learned that intrusive thoughts are like a really big symptom of that, by the way. So I'm like, oh shit, maybe I do have OCD, or I am OCD, but I have to have the bed be perfectly almost like made before I can get in it and sleep. And like if one sheet is going over, if the one sheet is like really far down on one side and not on the other side, it gives me like I'm uncomfortable. Like I have like a out of body kind of like crawling out of my skin kind of situation happening when it's not perfect. And then I have to immediately fix it or it's going to drive me truly into a rage. So that's my serial killer trait. I kind of am like that about a lot of things. I have my things that they need to be in a certain way. And when I was young, I would like fully have like fits, like mental breakdowns. My mom would just be like, what is wrong with you? Yeah, I don't know. We're still trying to figure out what's wrong with me, but we haven't really nailed down the exact problem, but we're getting there with the anxiety and depression of it all. You know, we're getting there somewhere. Okay, we'll end the spicy one. Is it normal to hate giving blowjobs? Okay, here's the thing with blowjobs. It's work. Like, I don't want to do work, obviously. So, like, yeah, it's normal to hate doing work, for sure. The other thing about blowjobs, though, is it depends on who you're giving them to. Like, you might hate the action, but, like, I like the fact that I can, like, pleasure or please someone that I love. Like, that's the part of it that I do like without maybe liking the action. So maybe look at it more like that. Like, you're trying to give him something, even though, like, putting a penis in your mouth, like, I feel like maybe some people think it's really fun. I don't really think it's that fun, but the outcome and what you're doing for someone that you know, care about in whatever capacity you do is giving them happiness. So when I think about it like that, I don't hate them as much. You know what I mean? If it's a random guy, like let's say pre-Joe or during our breakup, it wasn't something I was necessarily like loving to do or trying to do. I'm not doing, like, that's not happening unless it's a boyfriend. It's not going anywhere near my mouth at all, unless I have some kind of vested interest in you. Otherwise, like, what am I even getting out of this? You know what I mean? But some girls like giving blowjobs. I have some friends who really enjoy it. So I guess it's to each her own. But for me, I'm with you there. I don't love it, but I do love the outcome that it, you know, gives my boyfriend, someone that I love. Okay. All right. So that is the end of today's episode. Thank you all so much for listening. Come find me on Instagram to come to Chicago with me. I will say, I don't know at this time right now when I'm recording, if I'm going to be able to make a meetup in Chicago work. I've been talking to some places and everything is either like really involved and expensive or people are really slow to communicate. So we'll see what happens. I'm trying to be positive about it. And I feel like at the very least, I should be able to put together some kind of like bar tab or something. Like, I don't want to just invite everyone to come to a bar. You know what I mean? I want to invite everyone to come to a bar and then like I am treating you to something. I don't want it to be like, come here and just buy these drinks yourself. You know what I mean? There's something about that that I don't love. I would like to like have an incentive for you guys to come and meet up with me. And I don't want it to be, I don't know. There's something about like not giving you anything that just makes me feel like slimy and weird. So I'm going to try to make it work. And while y'all are listening to this, it will be like the weekend / possibly even the day of when I want to do the meetup. So just check it out on Instagram. If y'all are listening and you live in Chicago, just go over to my Instagram and see if there's any details for a meetup. Also the games, like I said, I think they're Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And I think Joe is pitching on Friday. So tomorrow. I will be at the game. So maybe like a little mini meetup at the game if you're going to go. Spot me. Come say hi. Thank you guys so much for listening. And I will talk to you guys next week. Thank y'all so much for listening to today's episode. You can catch a new episode of Note to Self every Thursday. Please, please don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss out on any of the good stuff. I always want to hear from you, so please leave a rating and review if you have a sec. Follow Note to Self on social for all the behind-the-scenes action and more info about the show at NTS by PS on Instagram and at Note to Self Pod on TikTok. And I'll talk to y'all next week.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.